On? Can you hear me just fine? 2 weeks before that with Brother Juan. I apologize, I wasn't at, for Memorial Day weekend, I was down visiting my grandparents, so I wasn't here. But the next 3 weeks, we'll find out who really is the winner. Yes, Brother Juan. No, it's per family. If everybody drives a car, see, you guys want to rob me blind, don't you? You know, obviously, if you got one person coming in a car, the other person's coming in the car. Man. One flesh, that is correct. So one reward, correct? Amen. That's good preaching. All right. There's just family, if those are aware of it, we'll have a test to see who can make it on time, 9:40, past 20, circumstances. I was here at 9:26, so I didn't see anybody come through the doors at 9:40, so we have two more weeks. All right, what's that, get half? Oscar, what do you think this is, the government? Oh my goodness. All right. So last week we talked about the importance of having what? Management. Having a list of what's your priorities. We talked about, I think a couple of weeks ago, we talked about our families should be number one. Our church should be number two. And our job should be number three. And then we talked about last week of performing an actual schedule. The importance of schedule and being able to set those schedules. This week we're going to talk about family vision and how does this do with time management. So let's start with a word of prayer. If everybody would stand together. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your word and grateful for the fact that you give us to understand how to operate our lives. I ask you, Lord, just to please bless us as I teach this morning. I pray that you'd calm my spirit and, Lord, that you'd help me to be able to teach as you'd want me to teach. In Jesus' name, amen. How many ever felt that sometimes there's just not enough time in a day? I've been working two jobs for the past year, and I tell you what, since probably 6 years, but two jobs recently that have taken up my time. And I know it's important to be able to fit everything in a day. The question is, how do you do that? You know, you get up in the morning. And we went through last week, different areas of time management and being able to perform that schedule so we can try to fit everything in the day. But sometimes, even then, when you have a schedule and you set it out and you're trying to do the right thing, sometimes it's just not enough. We go back to this verse, redeeming the time for the days that are evil. Someone give me a definition of redeem. To redeem. Anybody know what the definition of redeem is? Buy back. So how are you going to buy back your time? Can we buy back time? I go to God and say, God, I got some money here. I'm going to buy some time from you. No, we've heard of attorneys trying to buy back time for their constituents in the fact that they're trying to make sure they don't get convicted right away. It's inevitable that they're going to get convicted, but they're trying to redeem the time. They're trying to buy back that time. How do we as Christians buy back our time? How do we find the time and buy it back? Anybody want to take a wild guess at that? Take a stab? Oscar, you think we got something going on there? Something's generating in that brain of yours? Huh? Being good stewards. Okay. How are you being a good steward? How is that going to be able to give you buy back your time? Yes. Okay, but let's say you've done that. I believe your time can be bought back by one way. And that is, like Miss Sophie said, and even Oscar said, being good stewards. But I believe that God gives you your time. In the sense that when you spend time in devotions, God's going to make you a more efficient person. God's going to give you the ability to be able to get the things done necessary in your day. You say, Brother Harold, I don't see how I can spend an hour in devotions or an hour in family devotions. Brother Tisdale, I got a 14-hour day ahead of me. And then on top of that, I get home, I'm tired. I don't have a lot of time to do much of anything. How am I going to spend 30 minutes to an hour in family devotions with my family? And I really believe that if you spend adequate time with your family, God will give you the time back in other areas of your life. He'll make your job so that you're more efficient. He'll give you the ability to be able to what? Redeem the time. Instead, Christians, they try to look at their time like it's something else. They try to look at their time like it's theirs. Really, whose time is it? It is the Lord's. Whose time should we be spending doing things? The Lord. So when we say, as my little girls do, when this morning I saw Chloe found a little toy gun in the back room, and there was only one of them. Guess who wanted to play with it? Chloe gave it to Brooklyn and said, "Hey, Brooklyn, you play with it." Then she thought that Brooklyn would do the same thing, give it back to her and let her play with it. Nah. Sucker. That's what you are. Pretty much what she told her sister. And she says, "Dad, Chloe and Brooklyn will share the toy." And I had to explain to Chloe and Brooklyn that you need to share the toy. But in her mind, she was saying, "Mine! This is mine!" How different is a Christian when it comes to their time? They say, "Well, my time is mine! And up! I believe my time is mine." Okay? God expects our time to be those of His, and we need to spend time thinking that way. So I talk about family vision. A family vision. So we talked about priorities last week. I'll turn this down again. We talked about priorities last week, and when we talked about those priorities, we lined up the importance of the things in life. Now, we've got those priorities, but how are we going to get ahead with those priorities? And my battery is dead. Well, oh well. The importance of family vision. And here we go. If you never set a goal, you'll hit it every time. How many agree with that statement? I believe that for a fact, because how many times have I seen myself, I don't got time for this, I don't got time for that. Your goal should be, I need to find time to do it. So once we find our priorities, we must then determine how to make, to follow through the decision. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, the Bible says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law is he." There's many times in your family's life you say, "I need to find time for devotions. I need to find time to be able to raise my kids. I need to find time to discipline them. I need to find time in the house. I need to find time to work." Well, how am I going to fit all those things? First of all, you need to start with a family vision. What is your goal for your family? Your goal for your family is going to be different than the goal for my family. Why? Because first of all, the Lord leads people in different ways. But secondly, I believe that God is going to give you guys just fit for your family. It's going to fit like a glove. You come to the Lord, you ask Him, "Hey Lord, I have a problem. I need to fix it." So we come to God and say, "God, could you help me be able to determine what should be my family's goals?" If you're a single parent in the home, then guess what? You have the full responsibility of making that family vision. But let me tell you something. If you're the dad, you are the father in the home, your goal should be to do something about it. It shouldn't be that the wife is the one that is making the family vision. Why? Because if you're not making a family vision, your wife is leading the home. And the Bible says that a woman should what? Be submissive to who? To her husband. The Bible says that we should love our wives. So are you trying to give her more responsibility? As you shuck off that responsibility, are you doing what God expects from you? As a father? As a husband? No. God expects us men to. Why? Because He's given us that responsibility. You say, "Well, Brother Harold, you don't understand. I've got to work hard." And I understand you do. It is important to work hard. The Bible says that a man doesn't family, he's worse than a what? Infidel. But does that mean that we have to shuck off the other responsibilities that God has given us as well? I think not. There's many things the Bible gives us to be able to determine. I love this. Why is a vision important to time management? So now we're going back to the idea of time management and understanding why a vision is important to time management. First of all, it brings perspective to everything that you do. When you're working towards a vision, when you have a need to do and shuck off all those other things that you're doing that's not helping you with that goal. My job is to make sure that 85, the goal in order to get my commission or my bonus, is to make sure that 85% of the cars on the lot pictures. Okay? Happens. I get into work, and since I'm the only guy that understands the internet, don't ask me why, but I'm the only guy that understands the internet and understands the workings of the internet, hell, there's pictures not here. There's the feed's not coming through here. Oh, we need help here. We need help here. And before long, I spent 2 to 3 hours working on internet issues. That really is not my job. My job is bent towards what? Taking pictures. And so what happens is I spend a lot of time taking care of problems that should I lose focus of my goal, my vision. My goal is what? 85%. If I'm working on internet problems, am I really taking care of my job? No, I'm not. And so in a sense, if we are looking at our vision, we're going to determine, hey, this is my goal. This is what I need to get done today, this week, this year, this month. Okay? All right, so here's an illustration, and this comes from a concerned mom. Christian mom, she says, as far as a vision statement, I have one for my children and their education. So mom has already established what? A vision statement for her what? Say it with me. Her children and their education. There you go, moms. You can have vision statements for those. All right? But she says, as a family, we don't have one. Unfortunately, I've been praying that my husband would become interested in our homeschooling. Men? Are you the leaders of your home? Are you? Or are you not? As a good manager of your home and leader of your home, you consider the general manager. Okay? I love it. When I work at the dealership, there's sales managers. There's service managers. There's all kinds of different managers. There's internet managers. But there's one guy that you always go to if there's a problem. And what is he? He's the general manager. And that's the same way it is with the husband. The husband should have his fingers in everything. Does that mean he has to have his fingers in the dishwater? If he's the general manager and the wife can't do it, what should he be doing? Uh-oh. I know Brother Lewis doesn't like this, does he? Good thing Aristotle's not here, amen? Amen, brother? Get those fingers in the dishwasher. Do a few dishes. You say, Brother Harold, have you done dishes lately? No, I haven't. But I'll tell you what, it's probably coming. I have twins on the way. Probably doing some more dishes. Probably going to change some more diapers. Okay? I am to help the weaker vessel! Back to our illustration here. And it says, I have been praying that my husband would become interested in our homeschooling and one day care about creating vision statement for our family. That is my desire. And I trust the Lord will help us with that. Good. What is she doing? She is not nagging her husband, but she's praying the Lord would give her husband a what? A burden in his heart. Okay? And women, don't nag your husband. Don't nag your husband. Not all husbands are the same. Not all men are the same. When you're talking to your husband, you keep nagging him and nagging him and nagging him and nagging him. You know what? Some of them will blow up. Some will lose it. But you're not getting the created result that you're wanting. You're getting what? Your flesh. Your fleshly nature is what you're getting back. So to the flesh, you reap the what? Flesh. You sow to the spirit, you reap the spirit. Okay? So here she is. She's taking care of the problem of praying, by praying. She says, my husband dislikes church, to say in the least. Uh-oh. However, he has a website in hopes of reaching non-believers and cult members. He spends a lot of time on the internet doing outreach to cult members. Unfortunately and sadly, I don't think he has his things in order or priorities. More important to him right now. Now let me ask you this question. Does this have his priorities straight? No, he doesn't. His priorities are based on something completely opposite than what? His family. And if we look at the priorities that God has put in the Bible, our families come what? First. Okay, there's an illustration by, let's see, it was John R. Rice. When John R. Rice was a pastor, he tried to work with people, and people would come and say, Pastor, I need help here, I need counseling here. Well, there was time reserved at a certain part of the day that he could not allow anybody to come over and counsel with him. And one man came and says, Pastor, I need help. Could you help me with this problem? I need counseling. And he told him the time to, if I'm free on Fridays. And he says, I'm sorry, I'm taking it that time. Oh, really? Yeah, I'm taking it. I can't help you. So the man, being the stalker that he was, went by John Rice's house. As he went by John Rice's house, guess what he saw John Rice doing at the same time he told him that he was taken? He was outside playing with his kids. And the man came to him angry the next day and says, John, Pastor Rice, why in the world are you playing with your kids? You told me that your time was already taken. You couldn't counsel me. He says, I did have time already taken. That time is scheduled every Friday to spend with my family. Do you see, John Rice has saw the importance that he needed to spend the time with the family. He needed to be an example. Can our ministry overtake our family? Can it? It can. Some of us don't have ministries. We need to get some. But there's, when you do get one, does that mean that we need to spend all our time on our ministry? Should it? No, here's an example. Spend time with your family in your ministry. We have a nursing home, Brother Oscar and Miss Raina go to. And they go and they spend time working with others. I've gone to the last probably 6 or 7 nursing home meetings. And you know, I take my family with. Why? Because I want my kids to be involved with it. I want my kids to be encouraged in it. I want them to have ministry. Now, Alex, my family. But eventually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to spend my kids door knocking. And I've done it already. I spend right next to knocking on doors. See, all the things that I get to see as a soul winner. Why? I want that to be burned in their head that the kids really see that Dad loved to be a soul winner. I want to burn in their heads that Daddy was concerned about ministry. This man obviously didn't have even a concern about his own church. Why? He disliked it. He didn't go to it. He didn't think it was necessary. Here's another testimony. My children all headed to hell. Woo! I feel that I have showed them the way. I am a token Christian, but Jesus wasn't my spent time. My time following the Lord Jesus. No goals for this life, but live to make money and not be bothered by my children. I was content to go to work and spend my evening watching TV. My children are now following in my footsteps. Now we think about that for a second. We have an example that we're providing for our children, correct? If they see ourselves, it's not as the Bible tells us, that we are to be what? Brother Mohan? We are to be examples. Okay? We are to be examples. So, this is not working. Oh, maybe it's the microphone. But if we as Christians take the responsibility God has given us and we are fully trusting Him, are we going to be the example to our children to see that we are soul winners? Or instead, are they going to do the same things that our lives, like sports, television, entertainment? If all we do, all our lives, is spend time entertaining ourselves, Is entertainment wrong? No. But if we do it all the time, all we think of, what happens? Our kids are going to be the same way. I have an uncle. And all three of his, my uncle, his entire life, did nothing but drink alcohol. He drinks beer all the time. He's a drunk. Guess what his kids do? All they do is drink alcohol. Why? Because they see Daddy do it. You know what? It should be that your kids should see you in God's Word. You know why? Because your kids eventually are going to say, God is important. I look up to Daddy. Guess what? If they don't see you in God's Word, are they going to want to read God's Word? Well, the Holy Spirit can work in their heart. Yes, eventually if the Holy Spirit's working in their heart, they're going to get saved. Yes, they're going to do the right thing. But all men by themselves as a young person, they're not going to see that. I can tell you time after time, my dad's spending time in God's Word. He would be the first one up. Now, some of you have to work nights, I understand that. But he was the first one up, and you know what he was doing when I got up? He was at the kitchen table reading his Bible. He was praying. There was times that he would be up doing the things that were necessary in order to see his family raised for God. Can we do the same? We are to be an example. This man is so sad that he lost his own family because he did what? He was more concerned about the things of this world. And something I want to point out, I don't have my clicker working, but it says right here that he what? He didn't want to spend time with his family. I didn't want to be bothered with my children. How many people have that problem? You're tired, you're exhausted, get little crumb crunchers on your feet. I don't want to be bothered by them. Leave me alone, get out of my way. What exactly are you doing? You don't want to be bothered by your children. And there's one thing that I've learned recently, is to be able to involve your children in your work. Is it a lot harder? Yes. I put some sod down the other day. And I'm out there, and I got the wheelbarrow, and I got the sod, and I'm putting it down, and the girls are right there, and they say, Daddy, can we roll the sod out? Sure. I got to straighten it out a lot of times, but guess what? They're working with Dad. They're rolling the sod out. Okay? They'll remember that. They'll remember the time that Dad spent them doing that. I'll go out, and if we're going to have a little campfire at the house and roll some s'mores, I'll go out and we'll go collect sticks together. Or maybe, here's another example, Daddy's going to mow the lawn, so what does he do? He says, kids, pick up all the sticks in the yard. They're involved in my work. They're gaining the knowledge, the heart that Daddy has. And hopefully someday they will be the same. Some of you can't say that. Why? Because your very existence is what? Totally different. You don't care. You don't care about your kids. I know I'm kind of centering this around the family, but it's important as well for single people. And why do I say that? If you're just, you don't have a wife, and you don't have a husband, you're single, listen to me, it's important to set up a vision statement for yourself. How is that? Well, a lot of times, we as Christians, like I said before, if you don't have a goal, you'll hit it every time. How many of know that you have inequalities in your life? Nobody? Wow, we got perfect people here. That's great. Amen. Man, it's excited. Oh, I'll say this again. How many, maybe I should change the word. How many are perfect here? I knew you'd raise your hand, Brother Oscar. Brother Juan, I know you're perfect too. Don't worry. Your wife said the same thing to me the other day. Well, maybe not. It was something different like that. Maybe not perfect. Okay? None of us are perfect. Oh, we have all the inequalities in our life. So as Christians, should we set a goal or a vision statement for our own Christian life? Maybe you have a horrible time getting up in the morning. Good preaching, huh, brother? Oh, man, I don't want to get out of bed. Maybe that should be a vision statement for your life. I know I need to get up at 9 o'clock every morning. Or maybe I need to get up at 8 o'clock. I need to get up at 5:30. This, I love this. My wife hates it. But I know I need to get up at a certain time every morning. Not on the early mornings, but on the days that I can actually sleep in. So what I do is I gradually wake myself up. I'll set the alarm three different times. Three different times. This morning? Yeah, you're right. My wife hates me. But I know I need to be up at 6. So I'll set the alarm for 5:30, 5:45, and then 6. Just so I can shut it off and feel like I'm going back to sleep. I get up at 6. Why? Because I'm actually woke up by the time the third alarm clock goes off. Wow. Right? No, I know. Not everybody, you don't do that. It's not good. I need to get away from that. But it's one way for me to get myself out of bed. Get up. Start your day. Do what's right. Why? Because listen to me, we set those goals. If we don't set the goals, we're going to see the fruition of seeing those goals come to pass? No. We are going to just sit there day by day, just like this guy. He sat in front of his TV and ignored his children. If you ignore your Christian life, listen to me. What will do you have? I'm going to give you a statement. Brother Ralphie, I borrowed it from that book that you got from that guy. I have too much faith to be an atheist. I've been reading that book lately. And he said this statement. He says, humans have this error of sometimes bending the truth to fit their desires. Does anybody understand that? I'll give you an example. So bending the truth to fit their desires, okay? There's a truth in life that, and I was talking to some guys at work, and they are as evil as they come. They have some serious issues, and they believe that it's okay to have immorality, to be asleep with any woman they want without being married. And I sit down and I says, now let me ask you this question. Just kind of using this so I could use this for an illustration of sermon. I says, so is it beneficial for you to have children before or after marriage? And the guy who's the carnal goat of the things as well, he had to think about it for a second. Well, yeah, it's beneficial to have it after marriage. Okay. Why is it beneficial? And he gave me reasons why it's beneficial. Do you believe that's the truth? Oh yeah, I believe it's the truth. Is there a possibility that if you have relationships before marriage that you could have children? Yeah, of course. Everybody knows that. Do you believe the truth? Well, what was he doing? He was bending the truth to fulfill what? His desires. Okay? We as Christians, we know that we need to spend time with our families. We know we need to be able to eradicate the sin in our life and become closer to Jesus Christ. And in order to do those things, you got to do A, B, and C, right? But how many times do we, what? Bend the truth to fulfill our desires. We take the very truth that we know that we need to do, and we say, oh, I don't want to do that because mine don't want to do it. Right? We know that if we're going to have a good Christian life, and we're going to be close to Jesus, we need to get up every morning and have devotions. Have prayer time. But how many of us, just another 20 minutes of sleep, right? We're bending the truth. We're saying, no, the truth is not necessarily what I need. I guarantee it would revolutionize your life if we change that. Expecting more. So, I use this silly illustration of someone that's graduating, I put college, but it should be high school. If a child graduates from high school, what is usually the word that most people ask them? What are you going to do after you get out of high school? Right? How many of you ever heard that when you were going to high school? What are you doing that when you get out of high school? I remember kids asking that, people asking that all the time. Usually they'll say, I want to be a fireman, I want to be a mechanic, or I want to be a computer programmer, or I want to be a nurse, I want to be a doctor. They name something off, right? What if a kid said to you, I want to be fun and I want to have fun and be happy? What if they told you that? What do you think after you get out of high school? I want to be fun and be happy. Have fun and be happy. Now, from that response, you might take a number of conclusions from this reply. First of all, he has no idea what he wants to accomplish. Right? This kid has no clue what he wants to do. Number two, he has no idea to drive. Amen? He's a little lethargic, a little lazy. Just wants to have fun? Be happy? What kind of a response is that? He has a low expectation and he probably won't achieve the goal of even of being happy. Now, my question is to you, how different is this than Christians? They know that as a Christian they're supposed to be able to do these things, and so instead of having the right expectations, they just want to be fun and be happy and have fun, right? Is that even an expectation? No. I think that's the reason why we should set up goals. Turn into the Bible for answers. Our vision statement should reflect God's word on what to expect. When you start sitting down and you say, I want to have a vision statement. I think these are important for my Christian life. Okay? So what do you do? Do you just say, let's see here. Let's pull something out of the sky and tell them this is my vision statement for our family. Right? Or maybe you should open God's word like it says in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Open your Bible up. Determine what God says about how your family should be run. Secondly, 2 Timothy 3:17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. How do we find how we're going to set the goals for our families, ourselves? We need to come before God and say, God, what do you want me to do? What's the importance of your will here? I set up the Teasdale Family Vision Statement this beginning of this year. And some of it's hard to read, but I'll kind of read it for you. First of all, in the Teasdale Family Vision Statement of 2013, we determined that, number one, you need to have a fellowship with Christ. I use 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in light as He is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. Salvation, you must be fellowship with Christ through devotions and prayer time, a Bible reading, the ability to receive a blessing, at least 30 minutes daily, and more as time allows. Prayer. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, I exhort you that, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions for all men. So I took that verse apart and I said, this is what we need to do as a family. We need to use supplication and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks. And lastly, this memorization of Scripture. That word have I hidden that I might not sin against thee. And I took the second part, which would fellowship with each other. First of all, each person completes their respective duties and responsibilities within the home. I titled out what a husband is expected to do. When dad says, when my wife says, honey, what's she going to do? Point at the wrist. I keep this right here. Right here. Right? And I'll be like, what? Hey, God, do that? Honey, that's your job. It's just right here. We decided on it way ahead of time. The Bible says for the husband is the head of the wife. Oh, now, Brother Harold, what are you trying to say? I got to make a list of my responsibilities? If you have a vision statement for your family, yes. If you have a goal for your family and you want to see them turn out for God, yes. Secondly, love. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Oh man, this is getting convicting. Nurture, admonish, and train. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. For provide. But if any man have not have for his own, especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith. It is worse than an infidel. And lastly, cleave to my wife. Man, convicting, isn't it? God expects us to have a vision for our family. This is a vision for dad. This is a vision for a husband. Secondly, a wife and a mother. Oh my goodness. You actually take responsibilities that you have for you. He's done that. You should. We didn't realize how many verses they had to say about obedience and submission to a husband. The Bible says, love, submit, and reverence your husband. And in verse 33, see that she reverence her husband. Ooh. And it says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Ephesians 5:22. Colossians 3:18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as it is fit in the Lord, that they may teach the young women to be sober and to love their husbands and to love their children. I missed it. Oh, here we go. To love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers of home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Titus 2:4-5. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. For after this manner, in the old time, holy women who were trusted in God adored themselves being in subjection unto their own husbands. 1 Peter 3:5. Did you guys realize there are so many verses on obedience to husbands? Didn't know that. I've been in church and college and all that. Man, you started looking through them. Me and my wife are like, wow. A little intense, isn't it? Yes, the Bible is very clear on the importance of subjection and obedience to your husbands. Now, secondly, a wife and mother is supposed to love her children. In chapter 2:4. Then we pull out the old standby, right? Proverbs 31. What is Proverbs chapter 31? We start in verses 13, 14, 21, 22, 24, 27. It says, clothe and feed. What does that mean? That means you need to go shopping for your kids. For clothes. That's not my job. Clothe and feed. Alright? Is there times that we need to help husbands? Yeah. There's times you got to go out shopping. I know. Amen, brother. Love your wife. Isn't that good? But you know, there's times for... Number two, B. They should be what? Hard working. Chapters, verses 6 through 9. In Proverbs chapter 31, they should be what? Verse 20, benevolent and kind. Man, that's a lot of good verses there, isn't it? Good understanding of what a wife or what a mother should be. And lastly, wife and mother should be a keeper at home. Keepers at home. Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. And then we took the children's responsibilities. Children are what? To obey parents and authority. Children, obey your parents in the word, for this is right. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in things, for this is pleasing to the Lord. Colossians 3 verse 20. Number two, honor. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy ways may, days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. And lastly, I use the ideas of fellowship outside the home. A, fellowship with the saved. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. Acts 2:42. First of all, administering to the Christians. Praying with them, in much entreaty, we would receive the gift and take upon the fellowship of ministering to the saints. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 4. And number two, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in light as he in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And lastly, fellowship with the saved. You see me? Okay, do you see anything? Sorry, I didn't finish it. But there are some verses that gives us clear understanding about fellowship with the unsaved. Okay? Now, I give you all these reasons and all these things to have a vision statement. Does anybody have any questions? Oscar? Is that lollipop good? I'm sorry? Yes. Where? Love your children? Titus 2:4. Okay. Anybody have any questions? Feel free to ask me anything. I don't know if I got an answer for you, but I can be able to try to give you an answer. Any questions at all? Vision statements, priorities, time schedules, all these things, are they necessary? I think they're a helpful tool. I think if you spend the time necessary to make these things happen, I think you'll see your family life change. But if you just say, man, I have problems, but I don't want to do that, go ahead. I mean, that's up to you. Let me tell you something. It does help. And we're determining, uh-oh, did you find something that's heretical back there, brother, Miss Raina? What? New World Translation? Oh, you know what? That's right. I forgot. You guys use New World Translation right there. You made up the wrong one. I'll look it up. I know there's a verse that says, love your children. We'll find it. Thanks for the admonition. I will take it. Anybody have any questions? Especially, right? Amen. That's a blessing. Amen. I'm glad that's all we got out of this whole entire message about washing your wife's dishes. Okay? Anybody else have any questions? Vision statements, priorities, importance of them both. All right. Let's close in a word of prayer. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Your Word and that You've given us so much, Lord, to be thankful for. I pray, Lord, that You just bless this morning's service. I pray that I've been a help. Lord, I pray that Your Word would come back solid in these people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.